Father, it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight, now and forever. Amen. Well, here we are in the season of Lent. Now, I know there's a lot of folks who may not be familiar with Lent in particular. I know having grown up in a Protestant family, particularly in the United Methodist Church, I don't remember it being talked about a whole lot. And there's always, it seems to me in a lot of my encounters recently that Lent is more of a Catholic thing, at least the way it's treated. This past Wednesday, where I worked down at the jail, we went around offering ashes for Ash Wednesday and found a lot of people that I recognized from going to chapel every week had no idea what Ash Wednesday was about. And I thought that was kind of interesting. And some of them had no idea what Lent was. That was kind of a long day, spending the day explaining this over and over again to a lot of people. But time well spent, I hope. Unlike Advent, that it seems we just finished, Lent is not necessarily a celebration. I think maybe that might be part of the reason why, as Protestants, we don't particularly see it that much. If anybody here is a Catholic, I have no intention. I'm not Catholic bashing when I say this, but here's what I was. This might have something to do with it. I mean, the things that I was taught. I had a pastor growing up who was very interested in being sure that we knew that we were Easter people. We were Easter people. And we have an empty cross in most Protestant churches. Well, in the Catholic churches, they have a cross with Jesus hanging on it, the crucifix. And I have been told that this is because, well, as Protestants, we celebrate the risen Lord, while the Catholics over there are celebrating the crucified Lord. And, you know, you can't have one without the other. You can't have one without the other. And I think the reason that Lent gets avoided a lot of times is because it's a time of sadness, a time that we're supposed to set something aside. We're meant to fast, whether that fasting be of food or of something else. We're often told to give something up for Lent. Usually we end up giving up something that we should give up anyway, and as soon as Lent's over, we pick it right back up again. It seems to me the thing was always chocolate. Anytime I hear it mentioned, somebody's saying, well, I'm giving up chocolate for Lent. Which, yes, I understand. That causes tremendous suffering, which is why I don't give up chocolate for Lent. We have at various times, well, there was a few years ago, Robin and I gave up meat completely. We went completely vegan for the season of Lent, and it was, well, that there was great suffering. We had some good food, but it was good to get, I thought anyway, good to get back to meat. Although I do enjoy a good Friday fish fry from the Catholic Church up the street. That's always my favorite part of Lent is the fish fry. But it's meant to be a time of setting things aside, where as Advent, we were preparing for Christmas, which is a joyous time. So we're celebrating this whole season. But in Lent, we are preparing really for Good Friday. Well, we're preparing for Easter, but we got Good Friday first. again, growing up in my tradition, we seem to have skipped over Good Friday a lot. But I love Good Friday, which is why I'm so happy to be celebrating Good Friday here. But honestly, it's, as holidays go, Good Friday is a downer. But this season of giving up and preparing for it. And what I'd like to do this Lenten season, as far as my preaching goes, I know that there are several stories in the Bible that kind of get skipped over because they're poorly placed. Usually when Holy Week comes along, we have our Palm Sunday, and we have our Palm Sunday service in church where we wave our palm fronds and we sing Hosanna, and then we tend to skip ahead either to Monday, Thursday, or Good Friday. And there's some other stuff in the middle there that we never seem to get to. So I'm hoping to get to those stories this Lenten season, to talk about these things. And I will admit, they're not the most cheerful of things. But I believe they're important for us to hear. They're important for us to understand. Because again, honestly, some of these things get forgotten. Today I wanted to read about Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. There are two accounts of this in the Gospel. I will be reading the one from Matthew's Gospel and mentioning a couple of little differences in Luke that I think are particularly good. But I think Matthew overall tells this story the best. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So you men would not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." Again, he came and found them sleeping, and their eyes were heavy. He left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, for the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." And I am going to be taking the stories in Holy Week a little bit out of order because, once again, I'm not as organized as I would like to be. But here we have the story of Jesus just before he's being betrayed, praying and grieving as he prays. In the Gospel of Luke, and the story talks about him being, he is so upset that he is perspiring blood. I've never been that upset in my life. But it is a thing that can happen. He was sweating droplets of blood. Because he knew what was going to happen. Coming up was what he had been preparing for his whole life. And as it was getting closer and closer and closer, he was becoming afraid. Because he knew what was coming. Now he prays in here for God's will to be done. He says, if it's possible, let this be taken from me. But if not, your will be done. So he knew it had to be done. I do believe that Jesus could have changed his mind. I think he had that opportunity. Being the Son of God, he could have changed his mind, but then not only did he know what was going to happen to him, but he knew what would happen if he changed his mind to the rest of us. He knew what would happen. But what I really want to talk about here are the disciples. He asked them to come along, and they came along with him to keep watch, and they fell asleep. Jesus said to them, "Can't you even stay awake and pray with me for 1 hour?" Now, this particular passage has been used many times to chastise people who fall asleep while they're praying. Anybody ever fall asleep while you're praying? That's okay. That's okay. People will chastise you. You should stay awake while you're praying. But hey, how wonderful it is to be so comfortable in the arms of God that you can fall asleep. That's what I say. I don't think that was really the problem. I think the problem was, you know, while Jesus is here and he knows what's going to happen, they didn't. They had no idea. As far as they knew, it was just another Passover. Jesus likes to come and be alone to pray, and okay, he's going to be over there praying, and we'll be over here, and might take a nap. Hey, you know, there's all kinds of stories in Scripture about Jesus taking naps, so it must be okay. But again, he knew what was going to happen. They did not. Just like sometimes we don't know what's going to happen. Does anybody here know what's going to happen? I certainly don't. I don't know what's going to happen this evening. And we're this far from it. I've got plans. Is it going to happen? I don't know. But Jesus called them to stay awake. Sometimes we get called to tasks by God. We get called to do things, and we don't know why. Has that ever happened to you? You felt like you were called to do a thing, and you didn't know why. Maybe you did it, maybe you didn't do it. But maybe you didn't do it because you didn't understand. I have one that honestly haunts me. Years ago, when I was getting started in prison ministry, I was working with a group called Kairos Prison Ministries, and we would go into state prisons and lead these 4-day retreats. And one of the things we would do is on the last day, we would give the inmates that we were working with a packet of letters, handwritten letters from us, from people in our church, people that we knew would handwrite letters of encouragement to these guys. And I had to write 24 letters. because each letter had to be handwritten. We had 24 guys we were working with, and honestly, it takes a while to write 24 letters, even though, honestly, they were all the same, but they all had to be handwritten. And I got to the end of my 24 letters, and I very clearly felt God calling me to now write one in Spanish. Now, I don't know Spanish, but I've got Google Translate on my computer, which I know does a pretty decent job, and I've got a friend in Mexico that I can get in touch with and have him correct any mistakes that Google Translate might make. Not that difficult. And again, at the moment that this was happening, I felt in my heart that it was God calling me to do this. But I said, no, that's silly. Why would I write one in Spanish? Well, it turned out one of the inmates in the program didn't speak English all that well and would have benefited from a letter of encouragement written in Spanish. And I failed. I fell asleep when I was called to stay awake. I didn't understand. I didn't know. But I didn't follow simple directions. Well, certainly every time after that I was called to do it, I wrote a letter in Spanish just in case. Never used one of them. But they were there. We get called to service. We get called by God to do things. Now, did the apostles, or did these particular disciples being there, was their being awake really going to do any good? As we look at the story, no, nothing happened while they were sleeping. But you know, it would have made Jesus feel better if he had known they were awake. Right? He knew they were going to be asleep. Let's face it, Jesus knows everything. He knew they were going to fall asleep when he took them up there, but I guess he was hoping that they'd stay awake. I know Robin likes to say that she understands that you know, God knows what we're going to do. God knows how we're going to react. And he's sitting there waiting for us to surprise him. And it never happens. Wouldn't it be great if we did the right thing more often? I think so. But I think this is what was happening here, is that this is just an example of a simple thing. We can be called to this simple task. Maybe it's just a matter of greeting someone that we're not accustomed to greeting, talking to someone that we don't normally talk to. Maybe we do it, maybe we don't. But maybe we've been called to that thing. To an act of kindness, to staying awake, to writing a letter, to reaching out. Again, nothing bad happened because they fell asleep. But Jesus would have felt better. He would have probably felt a little better comfort if they'd been awake, if they'd been watching. A friend of mine is very keen on reminding me that when God calls us to a task, He has already taken into account whether or not we're going to do it. And if we're not, there's a backup plan. In the grand scheme of things, it's okay that we fail. But he'd rather we didn't. I think we'd all rather we didn't. I encourage you in this Lenten season not only to pray a little more, but to, if not actually stay awake, be alert to the thing you're called to. The small thing that may not really matter. But that we are called to for our Lord. Amen.
Who can live in your sanctuary? Oh Lord, who can walk on your...
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License.
Like to contact Colin, please feel free to email colinroberts412@gmail.com.
By the loving heart, yes, by the loving heart, Lord, give us a loving heart to do your will.
This service is over. Your service may now begin. As we go from this place, let us enter the season of Lent. Awake, listening, ready for what is coming, whatever that may be. Amen.